السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا المصطفى صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها الذين آمنوا ادخلوا في السلم كافة ولا تتبعوا خطوات الشيطان إنه لكم عدو مبين. صدق الله العظيم. علماء کرام, most respected brothers and also our sisters who may be listening over the receivers. Last week we were discussing the anti-terrorism bill. I explained to you the consequences of such a bill if it has to become law, if it has to come onto the statute books. There's so much that can be discussed about that bill, but the gist was given to you last week, and most of you know much more than I know about that bill. Those who listen to the radio stations and read the different magazines and newspapers, so you will be far more acquainted with it than I am. Nevertheless, whatever was important was brought to your attention. But as I mentioned many a times, that I can dedicate every Jummah to some issue which is of concern around the world. Every Jummah can be dedicated to that. We can speak on so many different issues. And as a Muslim, it is our duty to be concerned about whatever is happening around the world. If one part of the body is affected, then the whole body feels the pain. In the same way, any Muslim anywhere in the world is a part of the Muslim Ummah. So if he suffers any kind of injury or pain or any kind of difficulty or problem, then it is the problem of the Ummah. If a person says, "I am unconcerned," then it shows that he does not have an attachment to the Ummah. However, it does not necessarily mean that a person is void of concern for the Ummah, that he doesn't have concern for the Ummah, if he is not seen on the streets demonstrating or protesting or marching. If he is not seen, then we must not come to the conclusion immediately that this person has got no concern for the Ummah. For he may be engaged in some other kind of assistance to that Ummah. Which Muslim will not have a concern? But unfortunately, we come to conclusions. First, we plan a certain thing which is neither farz nor wajib, and sometimes it is not even Islamic. And then we look around that who is participating and who is not participating. And then we come to conclusions that so and so, look at him, he was on the street, he was marching, he stood with a placard there, even though he missed all his namazes for the day, but he was demonstrating. See how much of concern he has for the Ummah. And after that demonstration, then he went straight to the cinema theater or went on and put on the TV, and then he slept, and he only arose after the sun had risen. But we think that that person has got great concern. So we must not run to conclusions. We must have good opinion about every Muslim, that he has got a concern for the Ummah. But what I am emphasizing repeatedly is that this concern will only be justified, and we can only say we are truly concerned when we show in our own lives a concern for the Islam that we are professing to believe in. Until we don't show that Islam in our own lives, then we will say it is hypocritical that we are concerned about the Muslim Ummah around the world, but we are not concerned about Islam in our own lives. Therefore, these Jummah talks which we have 20 minutes once a week, so instead of dedicating each and every one to something that will concern someone else, far away in the world. We try to deal with those topics which are close to us and our hearts and our lives and our Iman and our Islam and our preservation of those Islamic morals, Islamic values, Islamic norms, Islamic system. That is what is extremely important, because in the Quran Sharif, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala Himself says, Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara wa quduhan nasu wal hijara alayha malaikatun ghilazun shidadun la ya'asuna allaha ma amarahum وَيَفْعَلُونَ مَا يُؤْمَرُونَ. There's no time to go into any detailed tafsir of any ayat in this little time. But here Allah Ta'ala is addressing, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُوْ أَنفُسَكُمْ, O you believers, save yourselves, وَأَهْلِيكُمْ, and your families, from the azab of Jahannam. Save yourselves. First address is to yourselves. Allah Ta'ala is also addressing the believers and telling them that you must save yourselves first and then save your families from the azab of Jahannam. Qu anfusakum wa ahlikum nara wa quduhan nasu wal hijara, the fuel of which is human beings and stones. So this concern for the ummah at large should be in the hearts of every Muslim. If he does not have a concern for the ummah, then he is not considered to be part of that ummah. However, the demonstration of that concern for the ummah, we will have to see in the person's own life. That he is concerned that Islam must be in my life. This Islam which I want to see in the lives of people around the world, that Islam must be in my life first. I will make every effort in whichever direction I go, and whichever field of activity I work, but my concern will be that Islam must come into my life. That honesty, that truthfulness, that sincerity, that charity, that service, that fulfillment of the rights of parents, of children, of brothers and sisters, of family members, that cheerful talking, laughing, smiling, joking with one's wife, with one's children, conducting business in an upright Islamic fashion and manner, staying away from that which is haram and forbidden. Now when this person is going to do that, then he will be projecting Islam. So in that terror bill that we were discussing, I mentioned that it is not just anti-terrorism bill, it is indeed a terrible bill. The terror bill is a terrible bill, and it's a horrible bill. It's horrible too, and it's terrible too. But still they cannot identify who is a terrorist. It's a very difficult thing for them, because their perceptions of terrorists is so vague that anyone who is believing in Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala or practicing Deen and Sharia in these days, he is a terrorist. And just to give you an example, a young friend of mine who started attending some programs and afterwards changed his life. Dramatic changes came in his life. He himself writes that I gave up girlfriends and I gave up music and I gave up watching the haram and all those kind of things, and before namaz was a difficult thing, but now I can count on my fingertips the tahajjud which I miss. And he's just a young person. After that, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala caused him to qualify as a pilot, and he went to another country and he's flying there for some company. Now there, because he was going, it's a Muslim country, there's a masjid nearby. Now because he goes to the masjid regularly and makes his 5-time namaz, because he dresses like a Muslim, or he can be identified as a Muslim in that dress of his, because he does not watch the porn sites on the internet with his companions and other colleagues, the other pilots, and just because he does not go to those clubs and he does not indulge in adultery, or he does not indulge in fornication, so he was reported to be a terrorist. Now he was reported to be a terrorist. Why? because he is not indulging in these type of vices. Now this is what I am emphasizing repeatedly, that in our times, in Muslim country or non-Muslim country, if the person is practicing on Islam, and he says, I'm finding myself very, very happy, I'm satisfied, I'm getting such kind of contentment, and now when I read the Quran Sharif, I get such ecstasy and joy. If we read his letter, it makes us tear. He says, now tears roll down my eyes, my cheeks, when I start reading the Quran Sharif. And not that he is feeling bored, or nothing. Only thing, he is staying away from haram, so he is a terrorist. Why is he going to the mosque? Why is he reading this type of, or why is he visiting those Islamic sites on the internet and not the porn sites? Why is he not going to the clubs and cinemas and discos? So he's a terrorist. So that is their perception. But as far as we are concerned, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala has identified for us who are terrorists. Especially two terrorists, Allah Ta'ala has identified himself and he has made it known to us. And in the Quran Sharif also Allah Ta'ala declared it very openly. And in the Hadith Sharif also, we get very clear signs of those two terrorists. One is Shaitan and the other is Nafs. Shaitan and Nafs, these two terrorists are so terrible terrorists that they don't only cause damage to a person in this world, their damage is something that continues. When this person goes to the grave, he will suffer, and he goes to the hereafter also, he will suffer. And in this worldly life also he suffers. He suffers terrible kind of depression, terrible kind of worries, anxieties, restlessness. When we read some of those letters from those young people who are involved in illicit love relationships, we cannot sleep, we cannot eat, I cannot drink, I can't do my homework, I can't do schoolwork, I can't concentrate, I'm getting suicidal thoughts. After having known her for 5 years, how can she suddenly dump me like that? Now when we read these type of things, then we really understand that these two terrorists, Shaitan and Nafs, are terrible terrorists. Now last night in the majlis, I read out one letter. But the audience here for Jummah Salat is a different audience. And I want to bring this to your attention. Listen to it very carefully. This sister writes that my name is so and so. Now only she knows, I know, and her son knows about this letter, that who she is. So if anything is mentioned here, it is only those people will know. But if somebody else does come to know, then that is because they have announced it themselves. Nevertheless, she says that I am the mother of so and so. And this young person that she is mentioning, who she is the mother of, has been attending the programs recently, and alhamdulillah, he has given up the vices of his life, drugs and all kinds of other habits. So she says that I spoke to you last night over the phone regarding the case, regarding the casino incident. Here's my story. My sister and they came down from Johannesburg on New Year's Day. So on Friday night, they wanted us to take them to see the new casino that has opened up in Durban. Now this is the trend, that we want to just see the casino. We just want to visit the casino. It's a tourist attraction of Durban, so we want to go and visit it. That is what we say. So on Friday night, they wanted us to take them to see the new casino. My son was dead against it, but we did not listen to him and we still went. While walking down in the casino, normally it is my habit that I hum some Hindi song tunes that comes to my mind. When she is walking around in the bazaar marketplace or in her home when she is doing her cooking, baking, normally that is what she hums, Hindi song tunes. But she says that on that particular occasion, on at that time, just one thing kept on ringing in my head, and that was Allah, Allah, kaisa pyara naam hai. Now this, you must have heard the zikr which we have here on Thursday night over the radio, over the receiver or some program she may have heard. But that Allah, Allah, kaisa pyara naam hai, that stuck in her mind. So she's trying to hum a Hindi tune, but it's just not coming. The only thing she can hum is Allah, Allah, kaisa pyara naam hai. Oh Allah, how beautiful is your name. Aashiqo ka meena aur jaam hai. I was shocked and said to myself, Tawbah, Tawbah, Astaghfirullah, how can Allah Ta'ala's name be taken in a place like this? But no matter how hard I tried to push this Allah, Allah, Kaisa Pyara Naam Hai out of my mind, I just couldn't succeed. On our way out, I tried to put a 10 rand note into one of the machines for the fun of it. Now this is exactly what I say in many bayans of mine. I've repeatedly said this, that many of those people who have become addicted, gamblers, then they were those who were taken by their parents when they were young for the fun of it to those casinos. For the fun of it, the parents gave them some money and said, you also try on that machine, I will try on this machine here. Now those children got used to it, and as they grew up, they said, let's go and try our luck there. We may get a jackpot. So for the fun of it, she tries to put this 10 rand note into that machine. Surprisingly, the machine rejected the money. I tried turning it in different ways and different directions, and it still rejected it. She changed the note, it still rejected it. I then went to a couple of different machines, because I thought that there was something wrong with that particular one. But the same thing happened. Again, I tried changing the notes, thinking that there was something wrong with the notes, but the same thing happened. That's when I told my sister, that is the sign, let's get out of here. And guess what? Outside, as soon as I walked, then those same Hindi tunes began coming back to mind. I related this story to my son. Of course, first they say the son didn't want to hear anything about the casino, but when she said, no, listen to my story, what happened and what experience I had, he said, then the son got extremely happy, and he said, I must tell Maulana about this, and I'm sure he may even mention it in one of his majlis. So for the hidayat of others, I've mentioned this here. That if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala wants to give somebody a sign, and wants to give somebody hidayat, the person may have attended some dini program, may have participated in some taleem, or may have attended some waaz and some nasihat, or may have been fortunate to go for Hajj and Umrah and make du'as there, whatever it may be, or have heard some zikr. Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, seeing that this person is desirous of hidayat, but there is a weakness in that person, the person doesn't have the himmat, the courage and the strength to go ahead, then Allah Ta'ala creates sometime conditions where the person gets hidayat even from the devil's mouth. In such a place, Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala gave this sister hidayat to make tawbah and not to repeat this kind of sin. One young person goes into the rave club after having given up his drug habits, after having attended some programs and given and made tawbah. Once again, he says, I was tempted to go back to that rave club with my friends. And last night too, I mentioned that this is the major problem of ours. That we say, my friend, but who is that friend? How can that person be a friend who is not concerned about the welfare of the person? The person is not concerned that what is this bad habit going to lead my friend to? The person wants to see his friend also down the gutters, then how can that be a friend? Nevertheless, he went with his friend. Now he says, the moment I entered the rave club, the only thing I could see was pigs in that rave club. Nothing else but pigs. He says, I'm rubbing my eyes to see human beings, but I'm seeing nothing but pigs in there. So he says, I dash out and I ran again. Went back home, and as you always say, rush to the bathroom, have a shower, change your clothes and apply itar. In other words, go and make sincere tawbah and istighfar from that sin that you attempted to commit or you have committed. He said, that's what I did. I went and made 2 rakat namaz, and I said, Ya Allah, save me and protect me from going back to such a place. And another one, there are so many incidents where this person says that the moment he went back after having given up his habit, then when he went in, he sees everyone like a cobra, like a snake that's dancing. All those who were dancing were looking like cobras and huge snakes or pythons that are dancing. Now we may say that why does this not happen to everybody? If it happened to everybody, then where is that test of iman? We have to believe in Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and in ghaib. Now if Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had to have a system, as I mentioned last night, that he had an angel appointed, that the moment the person goes into a rave club, that angel gives him such a tight slap that this person sees stars during the day. So then what will happen? Which person will go into that reef club? If Allah Ta'ala had a system that the moment the person is planning to commit adultery, or the moment he is there, secluded with that woman, the fire catches on in that room. If Allah's system was that, that that bed catches on fire, then will anybody commit adultery? But now and again Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala shows, now and again, to show His Qudrat. Now these are not people that are speaking lies, and there were witnesses that were walking around with her, those family members, they are all witnesses to these facts. So it's a very clear indication that these places are not for us. That is the terrorists that we must be very much concerned about, nafs and shaitan. These are terrorists and they want to see us destroyed. They want to lead us to destruction. It hasn't brought happiness in any person's life. Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala wants to give us happiness. He wants to give us sukoon. He wants to give us peace. He wants to give us the best of this world and the akhirat. So take a lesson from these incidents. That these people, Allah ta'ala showed it to them. Why? Because they had purified their hearts to a certain extent. They had made sincere tawbah. They did not want to go back. But again, nafs and shaitan tempted them and they went somewhere close there. So Allah ta'ala, because of that little purification that they had of their hearts and souls, Allah ta'ala showed it to them with their eyes, that this is what is happening in that rave club and in that discos and cinemas and theatres and all the haram. That you are seeing nothing but people, human beings, and who? Educated people, hafizes of the Quran Sharif, and sometimes people with great qualification and degrees, but they are there. So in the eye of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, this is what they are, pigs and nothing else. That means they are indulging in those sifats, which are the sifats and attributes of the pigs. Now they saw it with their own eyes, now will that person ever go back there? And that person who saw like the snakes dancing, will they ever go back there? But Allah will not show that to everybody. It needs some purification of the heart, then we will be able to see. And this brings me again to that same incident which I mentioned some time back also. That wali of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala in the Jami Masjid of Delhi, whenever he used to go to the Jami Masjid, it was not very far from his home also. So he used to go blindfolded. And he used to tell his khadim to take him blindfolded. So he said, but why must you go blindfolded? Allah ta'ala gave you eyes, you should open your eyes and see in the masjid, meet people, talk to them, discuss with them. Why must you ask me to tie a blindfold? And then you only look down in the masjid, you don't look around. So he took his hat out and put it onto that person's head. When he did that, the person swears in the name of Allah Ta'ala and he says that in the masjid, I saw only a few human beings. The rest of them were either dogs, either pigs, either snakes or scorpions or some kind of other beasts or animals. So what did he really see? He saw the characteristics of the people that were coming in the masjid. The person was angry all the time, fighting with everybody all the time. Or the person was greedy all the time. Or the person was indulging in adultery, fornication, rape and sodomy and all kinds of filth. Then he saw those characteristics. That whichever animal had that kind of characteristic, he saw him in that condition. Those who like to bite and sting all the time with their tongues, so he saw them in the shape of snakes and scorpions. So we have to check ourselves that what are our characteristics? Are we coming to the masjid with the characteristics of the Ahlullah, the characteristics of the Sahaba Ikram, the characteristics of a person who is truly a believer in Allah and His Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, or we are also coming to the masjid with all those same characteristics? May Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala give us the tawfiq to understand. Life is moving very, very fast and things are changing very, very fast. We can see what is happening around the world. So we must show concern, show serious concern for whatever is happening, whether it is in Iraq or whether it is Afghanistan or Kashmir or India or any other part of the world. But we can see that all these Muslim countries, repeatedly they are knocking at the door of the United Nations and begging all the time. Those six countries that met also, what did they say? Iraq must comply fully with whatever the United Nations says. They are not prepared to come and assist and help in any way. Whatever will happen, it will take place. As long as the United Nations says that yes, you must go ahead and bombard them, then we are quite comfortable with that. Now is that going to help? So our trust and faith has also moved from Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala to those very enemies of Islam and the Muslims. Now we are asking them for aid, for help, for assistance, for protection. Now, So where can we expect help and assistance? May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala use his ghaibi forces for the protection of the Muslim Ummah. May he send those angels that he sent in the battle of Badr and Uhud and Khandaq. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala remove the difficulties, the hardships and the problems of the Ummah. May Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala not look at our sins. May Allah ta'ala look at the tears of my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that he shed for his Ummat. And may Allah ta'ala look at the blood which was shed for the Ummat by my beloved Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Because our amal and our actions will bring about more problems and difficulties. May Allah ta'ala change the condition of the Ummah and bless us once again with peace, prosperity, happiness and a dignity and honor that Allah ta'ala had given to the Muslims of the past. Wa akhira da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We have got information, we received information this morning of the passing away of Hazrat Maulana Abdullah Gumbaji Sahab. He has become rahmatullah alayhi now, very mubarak death on the day of Jummah. He had served Islam and Deen all his life. May Allah ta'ala give him Jannatul Firdaus and give Sabre Jameel, Ajre Azim to his kith and kin and family.